James chapter number 1. You know, there's great power in the tongue to bless as well as to destroy. And if there's anything I can tell you is the problems we have many times in churches, it could be fixed if we just exercise our tongue correctly. We exercise for physical fitness. We exercise our bodies to strengthen them for strength training. We need to exercise spiritual strength to be able to fulfill what God would have us do. So we need to get our tongue ready to be used of the Lord. And our tongue is one of the biggest ways we shape the destiny of our children, to be honest with you. It's not always the things it's not always the things we tell them, it's who we are that shapes them, but they seem to remember the things we say, especially if they're hurtful. And so God warns us, look in chapter 1 of verse 26, and verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know, God says in Proverbs 6 that there are seven things he hates, and one of them is a proud look and a lying tongue, and that that the tongue can be like choice silver, Proverbs 10 says, and that in Proverbs 12, the Bible says that the tongue can be like a piercing sword, or it can be wise and bring health. The tongue, if used right, can be just as powerful as knowledge. And a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, Proverbs 15:4 says. And the Bible also talks about how the tongue is like fire. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18 and verse 21. And like I said, of all the things that I deal with in church between Christian brothers and sisters, much of it can be fixed or avoided if we were to use our tongues correctly. And when we mess up, we could fix it quicker if we just use our tongues right. So God warns us and says you can do this. So in James chapter number 1, we need to exercise our tongue. And there are specific exercises you do physically for your arms. You call it leg day or arm day or back day or whatever you guys do. Well, in here in verse number 2, we start in verse 1. It says, James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy. Speak joyfully. Why? Because, look what it says, when ye fall into divers temptations. Why? Because God's still working on you. Learn to speak joyfully rather than grumble. Speak joyfully. God's working in your life. You still have Romans 8:28 as you ought to have that as your life verse. Why? Because if you're called according to his purpose, if you're doing right, if you're following God and desiring what God wants in your life, listen to me, he's going to work it out for your good. That's the definition of hope. So speak joyfully. Praise the Lord, he's still working on me. Verse 12 says, blessed is man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. You know what I love about that is I know that God, nothing happens to me that God doesn't aware of and that God doesn't see. He not only sees what happens to me, he sees how I respond to it. So praise the Lord. Tell your tongue to be joyful. Tell your tongue also to speak patience. Look what it says in verse 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God has allowed this circumstance, not because he's pouring patience into you like antifreeze or like oil or gasoline into your life. No, he doesn't pour patience into your life. He puts circumstances into your life, frustrating circumstances into your life, so that his patience, his godliness can be manifested. He gives you circumstances where his patience can be manifested. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, gives you the opportunity. But let patience have her perfect worth. Don't give up on it. That ye may be perfect or mature, complete, entire, wanting nothing. My goal is to give that person that, you know, I'm working and I need to be patient with that person. I need to be, especially with my children, I need to be patient. My goal is to give them all they need for their maturity. This works on the job as well, to be patient with those people. Number 3, tell your tongue to pray for wisdom. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, this is probably my number 1 prayer on my prayer list for myself. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. That means he gives and gives and gives and upbraideth not. He's not doing it for my hurt. He doesn't take it away. He's not doing it to undo me. And it shall be given him. I need wisdom. That is what I pray. I tell my tongue, boy, I need to pray for this. I need wisdom. Lord, help me. I don't understand how to use your word effectively. I know it's good. I know it's like silver tried in a furnace seven times. I know you've preserved it to all generations. I just need to know how to use it, and I use it effectively for your glory. I need wisdom. I need to remind my tongue to ask in faith. Look at, as we go verse number 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't think, well, I can ask God, but I'm not sure he's going to give it. No, ask. Ask in faith. I believe God will give it to me. Why? Because I want what he wants. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. God gave us emotions, but they were never meant to rule us. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'm to ask in faith. I trust God to give me the wisdom I need for this experience or this time in life. And even though I may not know what to do, I know that God does. And he's working it out for me. So I need to remind my tongue to ask in faith, believing God knows and God is going to tell me. Look at verses 9 through 11. Remind your tongue to ask in hope, because God promises there's better things coming. Look at verse number 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. God promises there's better things to come. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in my possessions. My hope is not in the next election. My hope is not in who resides on Pennsylvania Avenue. My hope is not in any of that. My hope is in the Lord and what he has for me. And the definition of hope is that God is going to do me good and not evil all the days of my life. So I need to remind my tongue, to exercise my tongue, to ask for things in hope, knowing that God will even do more than I could ask or think. I need to tell my tongue to rejoice and pray for endurance. Look at verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You know, the word endure means to not quit. To not quit. You ever watch those funny sports videos? I love fails. I like watching fail videos. But you ever watch those videos? They're so sad, where guys think they've won the race and they start to slow down and they start to, you know, they're trucking in there. They get out in front and they think they're so far out in front, they start to jog and wave at the crowd only to watch somebody else pass them and win. Yeah, I've seen it in football, where they're down to the last 10 yards, and they think they're so far they can slow down, and they start, yeah, and then somebody takes them out at the knees. And that's what happens, is we think we've got it. We'll take it from here, Lord. Or, phooey, I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe we think because somebody poked us or somebody treated us poorly with their tongue, so we're done. We're done. We just go find some other church. Phooey. We'll just go find some other church. You realize the other churches you go to are filled with people. And people are sinners. Wow, okay. You didn't know that? You didn't know that? There's a Baptist church right up here next to this other community called Calvary Road. You know what they're full of? People, and they're sinners. There's a church right over here by Hayfield High School. You know what they're full of? People, and they're sinners. Just like this church is full of people, and they're sinners. So trust me, if somebody offended you here, it would be better if you just made it right. If you went in and said to them, hey, I love you. I don't know what's wrong, but I'd like to make it right. I'd like us to be together. Because what's going to happen is no matter wherever you go, there's going to be somebody who offends you. Yeah. You better get good at it because it doesn't matter. People are messy. And if you think, well, because that won't, you know what happens if somebody offends you on this job and you change jobs? You're going to find somebody else who's going to offend you. Is there anybody working at a perfect office with perfect people where nobody ever gets offensive and everybody gets along just swimmingly? Or is it because you work alone in a cubicle at your house? Even then, I can't get along with myself sometimes. Right? See, you have to understand that we need to be patient. We need to ask and hope. We need to pray for endurance. We need to remind ourselves that it's not worth giving up on, because what God tells us to do is to reconcile and to pray and hope, pray with endurance, but also to pray and be thankful. Look at verse 12. He says, you shall receive a crown of life. You know, the rewards God offers us for being faithful and being and enduring and not giving up is worth it. And to be thankful for those rewards. And to be loving. Look at this last phrase. For the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Do you speak lovingly to the Lord? When's the last time you told him you love him? When's the last time you said, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you so much. I'll tell you, because nobody loves you like he does. Look at verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he of any man. Tell your tongue to stop complaining. Everything God does is good. I'm the sinner that's at fault. Look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, here's the thing. In 1 Peter 5, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Two Wednesdays ago, Brother Bruce had this wonderful illustration of fishing with the big net where you cast it off the bow of the ship. And you've got to pay attention to what you're doing, and you've got to cast it with all your might and make sure nothing gets hung up so it all gets out there. And that was the image he was showing of casting all your care upon the Lord. Because the problem is when you complain, you're actually casting your problems on someone else. And they can't help you. They can't fix it. They can't carry it. You have to cast your problems on the Lord. You want real, long-term, abundant Christian life? Cast your problems on him, not on other people. You realize your spouse can't help you. You cast your problems on, you can talk to your spouse about your problems, but you can't cast your care on them and expect them to fix it. They can't. Your wife will never be able to fulfill you like God can. Your husband cannot fulfill you like God can. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Because here's what Bruce was saying the other night. He said, because if you're stepping on that and you're not throwing it all on God and you're not giving it all to God, you get weighed down with it. And you start to lag behind the rest of the herd, and you're easily picked off. He was right when he, because 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 8, the very next verse says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom you may devour. I don't think God made a mistake putting those two verses right next to each other. Because when I talk to people who are laying out of church, when I talk to people who quit on church, it's because they're not casting their care on God. They're not going to God to get the healing. They're not going to God to get the emotional help. They were expecting someone else to heal them. They were expecting someone else to fix their emotional problem. And when they didn't come through the way they thought they should have, they fell out of the herd of the church. And the devil picked them off. Oh, they're not going to hell. You know, they didn't lose their salvation, but they don't come to church anymore. And they sit home and curl up in a ball and suck their thumb and whine and bellyache about how the church let them down. No, you tried casting your care on someone else instead of the Lord. None of the church members in this church can fix your emotional problem. Now, if they hurt you, you need to go to them and you need to tell them. And when they apologize, What do you want them to do after that? The hurt's still there. The words were still said. God has to heal that. And see, that's another misnomer we think. Well, I went to them, and they apologized, but I'm not sure they meant it. Why? Did you want them to give you a kidney to prove it? What do they got to do to make sure you prove? What? See, you're expecting emotional healing from someone who cannot give you that because you casted your care on them. You have to cast your care on the Lord. People offend me all the time. You know, I get off the pulpit sometimes. It's the way the Lord uses me to keep me humble. I know what the Lord's doing. He does it to me all the time. I'll get off the pulpit, and I think I slayed the dragon, man. I get up here, and I'm like, oh, I had a good day, you know. And I get down, and somebody goes, oh, preacher, man, you must have had a rough week. You didn't have time to study. I'm like, Right? It's just him. It's just Lord keeping me humble. You know what I'm saying? It's that thorn in the flesh. I'm not saying you're the thorn in the flesh. Okay. But my wife used to say, I used to get in the car. When I was first pastoring, my messages were as thin as soup on a plate, okay? I was new at pastoring, and I didn't have any depth to them at all. And she'd say, honey, I understand it now. And I go, what? I get your strategy. I'm like, what? What? She goes, you're just keeping them hungry so they'll come back tonight for more. That was the Lord. That was the Lord keeping me humble. No, seriously. We're like porcupines. We poke each other from time to time. And you're supposed to go to them. You're supposed to let them have an opportunity to apologize. And when they do, though, at that point, you have to let God heal you. Because they can't. They can't. So the pain's still there. The memory is still there. Even though they said, I'm sorry. Wow, I didn't know. And they hug you and they say, I'm sorry. And even though they make their best to try to make restitution with their words and their emotions, they still can't, to the point where you walk away going, oh, I feel much better. You're never going to do that until the Lord heals you. And you know you haven't cast all your care on the Lord until you feel that peace. And the devil will pick you off at that point. So tell your tongue, stop complaining. Everything God has allowed in my life, he's done it for a reason, and I'm the sinner at fault, not him. Tell your tongue not to be deceived. Look at verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. He's not good one day and bad the other. Neither shadow of turning. He's not doing it deceitfully. He's not a bait and switch. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand. You must understand that if we knew what God knew about us, then we would agree with the choices he allowed. If I knew everything God knew, I would agree with the choices he's allowed in my life. So don't deceive yourself in thinking you're smarter than he is. I can count on God to be good to me. That's what you need to tell your tongue. Number 11, you need to tell your tongue to be quiet. Verse number 19. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Isn't it interesting God gave us two ears but only one mouth? Isn't that interesting? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When I'm angry, I am not doing the right work of God. I'm not working the righteousness of God. So I need to tell my tongue, slow down. You're not understanding them. Let's back up on the anger for a second. Take a breath. Okay, I'm obviously not understanding. Let me hear you again. And until I can tell them in my own words, I really don't understand them. Tell your tongue that you want it to speak clean words. Look at verse number 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Tell your tongue, I want to speak clean words because I'm going to use it to speak the word of God. Sometimes I need to recite 1 John 1 in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if I walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Sometimes we need to take inventory. I find it beneficial to do it throughout the day. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I get to thank the Lord for forgiving me. You know, when you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you. And I'm thankful for that because he is faithful to do it. Tell your tongue to put it into practice. Look at verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Why? Because you see yourself as you are when you look into the Bible. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Tell your tongue, we need to put this into practice. Verse number 23, we need to build up others. We need to use our tongue to edify. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the use of edifying. The word edifying means to build rather than to tear down, to strengthen, to use what I'm saying to encourage, to lift, to build, to inspire, to build others up. I'm also to use my tongue to comfort other people. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Are the words you're about to say going to bring comfort in this situation of frustration? You see a coworker is frustrated. You see someone who's irritated, someone who's having a bad day. Or was what you're about to say going to make light of it? And you think your joke is really going to help? Or is it going to bring comfort? Is it just going to make you laugh? Or is it going to hurt more? You need to put it into practice. That's building and teaching. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, you can't imagine what a word of encouragement does until someone does it to you. And then it reminds you, wow, I needed that. But if you put it into practice every single day, as you're driving, a lot of times I'll do this. And you may have gotten a random text from time to time from me, and you think, well, that's kind of weird. But that's because the Lord brought you to mind. Or I do this. I'll say, Lord, because I know preachers don't get texts very often. So I'll say, Lord, of my friends that I have in the ministry, who do you want me to encourage today? And I'll wait. And the Lord will bring somebody to mind. Now, by process of elimination, you think it was the devil who wanted me to encourage a pastor? No. Okay, so that was the Lord. So the Lord brought somebody to mind, and I'll text him and say, brother, I'm thinking of you today. I just had a word of prayer and talked to the Lord about you and encouraged you, and I do pray. And if you need anything, please let me know. I love you. Wouldn't that be something neat if you got a text like that or an email like that? Or maybe if you sent a note or you sent an email and said, hey, man, I just maybe it's a coworker and you're just like, hey, I appreciate the help today. And if they helped you on some, hey, I appreciate the help today. That was, you stepped in and really saved me some time. And that was a blessing. And I want you to know that I saw that and I appreciate it. And it didn't go unnoticed. Sometimes that'll lift somebody's spirits. Because a lot of times people on the job, especially folks that are support, will serve, and a lot of things they do go unnoticed, and they go without any acknowledgement or thanks. You don't know what it would do to their spirits if just a simple, I appreciate what you've done. You've made my day better. Just an acknowledgement. And the opportunity one day to say, you know, God loves you. God wants you to give them something that is pure. God wants you to give them a message of hope. God wants you to give them a message they can't find anywhere else. And it starts with us. It starts with our tongue. You know, that's why football teams have practice. It's why baseball teams practice. It's why other sports practice. Why? So that on game day, they can perform as they wanted to. And we need to practice our tongue in such a way so that when we're in the situation, what comes out our mouth was for the glory of God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It all starts by calling upon God and confessing our sin and asking Him to forgive us and be our Savior. That's where it all begins. The greatest glory we can bring to Him is to agree with Him that we're sinners and that He is righteous and holy. And then to worship Him, to acknowledge His majesty, His holiness, His glory. And tonight, as Mrs. Mix begins to play, maybe just a moment of time where you can thank Him for what He's done in your life this week, the way He's worked, provided for your living and your needs, for your health. Maybe something this week or someone this week encouraged you and lifted your spirits. And that was the Lord. And it went unnoticed. Our Heavenly Father, You interject Yourself into our life so often that we forget to give You praise. And Father, today we recognize that every gift comes from You. Every good and perfect gift comes from You. And Father, forgive us for not recognizing the gifts that You're always working for our good. And Father, help us to remind ourselves in our tongue to speak not only truth, but to speak love, to speak words that build, to speak in hope and to speak in faith, to speak in a way that comforts and is patient, that others, Father, will be pointed to You by what we say and how we say it. And Father, that others will hear our story and believe. And Father, I'm thankful that someone shared their story with me, their story of repentance and faith. And Father, for the times when my tongue has not behaved, when I've not spoken the things I should, I ask Your forgiveness and that You'd heal those that were the recipient of those things. You'd heal their hurts. And Father, tonight, that You'd speak to every heart and every soul, minister grace to the hearer in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix plays and sings, the altar's open. Won't you take a moment? And tonight, if whatever is burdening you, whatever pains, whatever memories, would you cast them upon the Lord? He cares for you. Just cast them with all your might and ask God to take those memories and those pains, to heal the pain and to harness the power for your good.
Without You, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need You. Oh, I need
every head bowed, every eye closed.
Your sin runs deep. Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where You are. And where You are, Lord, I am free. Is Christ in me? is Christ in me. Lord, I need you.
Won't you sing that with her?
Every hour I need you, my one defense, your righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Our Father and our God, we need you. Heal our hurts. Father, help us keep our eyes upon Jesus. Please, as we walk this road, Father, we know every step is a step of faith and a step of grace. And may our lives be a living testimony, not only of your of the reality of you, but also that your will is perfect. And God, we look forward to the day when your Son returns, our blessed Savior comes and takes us on to heaven, and we'll worship face to face with you. We thank you for this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Look this way.